The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
Peter Boyles, your voice against the concrete jungle on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Peter's out, but he is up and at him. Just got a text message from Peter from inside the Nuremberg court. 1, 2, 3, 4. Really sharp pictures. Man, I can just feel the souls, the energy that must be floating around inside that building. It is really incredible. He says it's overwhelming. I can well imagine. I'm really been enjoying my opportunity to fill in for Peter. George Brockler will be here tomorrow. Peter will be back on Friday. And when I get done today, I'm headed over to our brand new family-owned auto repair business, Hartger's Garage Auto Service and Repair. That's my son-in-law, my daughter's high school sweetheart. They've been married for a while now, first child, first grandbaby, pretty cool. 5600 South Windermere Street in Littleton, where at noon we'll be cooking up some hot dogs and offering free winter inspections for your car. So if you get a chance, I'll be there for at least a couple hours at noon. I hope you'll roll on by, get to know Mike, a good young man, honest, excellent mechanic. And of course, this was my life for 20 years, from the time I was about 13 years old, was working on cars and motorcycles and mini bikes and junk like that. So it's going full circle for me, and it's just a big day for our family. And that's why I keep talking about it. I hope you'll indulge me this morning. But now at 7:03, we're joined by a good friend, Ted Harvey, former Colorado State Senator, now running the Committee to Defend the President, his brainchild. It was the pretty easy flip from the Stop Hillary PAC. And man, you didn't miss a beat from the time Donald Trump accepted the nomination for president and then became the president. You have been all over out there trying to push back on the phony media narrative. And we're so glad that you're here this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You better believe it. And, you know, I always like to check the Twitter feed and Facebook pages of guests. And just 12 hours ago, you tweeted out, Mitt Romney has used a secret Twitter account since 2011, often using it to defend himself, especially recently. What a loser. Tell everybody about this story. It's from Slate Magazine. Can we rely on it?
Well, I don't know. I think you can. And I think it's pretty bizarre that the guy who has been leading the Never Trumper effort since the Trump did hire him on as the Secretary of State, has been leading this effort to try to, every time there's an opportunity to go against the president, he takes that opportunity. And then he has, you know, I know our PAC has gone after him every time he does it. And I'm and I know every other Trump supporter out there goes after him every time he does it. So he sets up his own, well, he has, even before Trump got elected, has had this Twitter account out there to defend himself. It's really bizarre.
He's just pathetic. I don't know what Utah was thinking when they voted for him. You know, did you ever meet him or spend any time with him?
You know, not on staff, but I volunteered on his campaign when he was running for president. I thought he was a great candidate. He ran on all the right conservative issues. I thought he was a solid candidate, and I can't imagine what he would have been like had he won the presidency, because if you look at all of the policies he's pushing now as a senator, it's concerning. I mean, he's no different than any one of the Democrats that's up there.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't spend any time anymore on the Sunday morning shows except for Maria Bartiromo, who is really, really digging into this slowly and surely unwinding or maybe winding up investigation into the deep state. Meanwhile, the Denver Post this morning puts, you know, the term deep state in quotes and has all of these state official anonymous leaked testimony to the Star Chamber Democrats who are trying to impeach the president with their kangaroo court.
Did they mention, I haven't read the article, did they mention any law that's been broken?
No. They're talking about how the president has, let's get a quote here. They see this as an opportunity to reassert the foreign policy norms they believe Trump, jump to page 8, has blown past. And I went down the list, you know, Barack Obama knee to knee with the president of Russia. Tell Vladimir I'll have more flexibility after my election. Hillary Clinton with her reset button, her red reset button presented to try and set up relations. Pallets full of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of cash sent on an unmarked plane to the mullahs of Iran. Those are the policy, foreign policy norms that these bureaucrats want to return to. Donald Trump, the great disruptor, says hell no. But he cannot get a break in the mainstream media. And some people are concerned and mourning and worrying that this Democrat strategy is going to work and take out this president in 2020. What do you think, Ted Harvey, Committee to Defend the President?
Well, what is their strategy? Their strategy is, oh, my God, the American people voted for a president that we don't like, so we've got to do everything we can to destroy him. There was a Politico article that came out in April of 2016, before the election, that said impeachment proceedings may start the day he is sworn in. And essentially what it was saying was, we don't like the way he's mean to people, so we need to impeach him. Then they did an impeachment vote well before the Mueller report even came out, and 70 Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives voted for impeachment before there was even the Mueller report. Then the Mueller report comes out and shows that there was no crimes. The president was innocent. This was all a made-up coup by the deep state. And they then had to turn on their heels and find something else. And they're coming forward with a whistleblower who wasn't even on the phone call, who came up with all of this quid pro quo information, and then the president immediately releases the report, the phone call, the transcript of the phone call, and there was no quid pro quo. We all can read it, but they had already started the impeachment inquiry before they had the transcript, but they're still going to go forward with it. I think the American people are seeing all of this for what it is that the Democrats are desperate. They don't have any candidate that can beat this president. They don't have any candidates at all. And the president's going to win, and he's going to continue to pursue the conservative principles that the American people elected him to implement. And that is why you see the left in the media, in Congress, and all of their funders literally manifesting before our very eyes, because they realize that they don't represent the majority of Americans in this country. And Donald Trump does, and I think he's going to win in the landslide because of it.
Well, I'll tell you, Moody certainly seems to agree. Those Moody projections, which have been accurate for every election except one since 1980, in three different models they put together, show Donald Trump winning in all of them by strong margins and by a landslide in one of the three. And I just don't know how the Democrats, when you look at them up on the stage, talking about how Americans are suffering and the forgotten worker in an era where 6.4 million jobs have been added under this president, 500,000 in the manufacturing sector alone, 136,000 new jobs in the month of September, wages are up. This statistic is stunning. 8 years of George W. Bush, $400 increase for American middle class household incomes. 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, $1,000. 2 years of Donald Trump, $6,000 increase, because he has simply been striking down regulations and unleashing the power of the American economy and touting it, celebrating it, standing up for it around the world. And yet we've got all these Republicans, all of the prognosticators, all talking about because of, you know, the way he handles himself or the way he interacts with leaders, that somehow the whole country is going to turn their back on this tremendous success. I don't believe it, but boy, when you hear it all the time, it sometimes gets you down.
Well, that's their goal, right?
Yeah.
The propaganda machine is going off at 100 miles an hour, 24/7, to try to send out this narrative that the president's administration is failing, and that's just not the case. And I bet if you were to look at it from a state-by-state basis, most of those increases in wages, most of the increase in jobs are in the Rust Belt, where the president has brought back manufacturing, has brought back it's parts of the economy that have been destroyed under the overregulation of the Obama administration. You look at West Virginia, you look at Pennsylvania, you look at Michigan, you look at Wisconsin. I bet that's where most of those jobs are coming back, and the Democrats are not going to win those states. They have to win Pennsylvania in order to win the election, and I don't see Pennsylvania going for any of the Democrat candidates when you have this president that has been so good to the workers in those states.
And look at the rallies. I mean, these Democrat candidates can't fill a high school gym, and Donald Trump can't find venues large enough to get his overcapacity crowds inside, and he does them day after day after day.
So, you know, I was in New Mexico last month, what was it, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and it was a pack house, standing room only in the arena, and then there was probably 10 to 15,000 people outside, and when they looked through, when they bumped the names of the people that signed up for the rally against the voter registration list in New Mexico, it was 40% of those in attendance were Hispanic. And remember, the president's not supposed to have any support of Hispanics because the Democrats have said that he's a racist, and so therefore he must be. That narrative is falling apart when you look at New Mexico. And not only were 40% of the attendees Hispanic, but 30% of the attendees were Democrats. I think the president's going to win New Mexico. I've been down there four times in the last month and a half. I'm going to be down there another three times between now and the middle of December. I think that the traditional, God-fearing, patriotic, conservative Democrats in this country, like down in New Mexico, are looking at the whack jobs that are running for president and what the Democrat Party is doing to this country, and they're saying, sorry, that's not the Democrat Party of our parents and our grandparents. That's not who we are, and they are leaving the Democrat Party in droves. And it's great for the Republican Party, it's great for Donald Trump, but it's also going to be great for America that these people are waking up and seeing how dangerous the Democrats are right now.
Talking with Ted Harvey, CommitteeToDefendThePresident.com, CommitteeToDefendThePresident.com. You mentioned Trump winning New Mexico. I want to ask you about Colorado here in just a second. But two things that are so important for people to remember as this kangaroo court impeachment investigation goes forward. The Tea Party Patriots action item for today is to call your congressman, tell them to vote for the censure bill. I'll pull up the bill number here. I had it just a second ago, but vote for the censure bill. It's H.R. 604 to censure Adam Schiff. No on any motion to table the motion to censure Adam Schiff. There are 176 Republicans who have signed on to that. Ken Buck is not one of them. Might talk about that for a minute as well. But with regard to impeachment, the two pieces that the Democrats will never be able to tie together is you cannot have a quid pro quo. That's the lawyer in me talking. If the other side doesn't know that something is being withheld. When Donald Trump had his conversation, the president of Ukraine had no idea there were discussions about this money or what the basis of those discussions were. The United States and Ukraine have a treaty that mandates that they cooperate on investigations of corruption. The money was ultimately released. And the it is absolutely the way business is done in politics. It applies to the states. The federal government gives the states money if they do certain things that the government wants them to do. And it applies with our allies and other people that we utilize foreign aid to influence. It's not that we're so gregarious that these are gifts. We trade our vast wealth for influence. And the Democrats are never going to be able to get around that. Yet every news report you read or every commentator you hear, including many on Fox News, continue to try and talk about this as some kind of improper and impeachable action by the President of the United States.
Well, if they had the goods, they would bring it up for a vote. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi is never going to bring this up for a vote because she doesn't have any evidence that the president broke a law. She's not going to put her Congress people that are in swing districts at risk for trying to impeach the president on completely made up, trumped up.
Excuse the pun.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting.
And I wish they would, because
I do too.
That would give us just one more reason to destroy Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in Washington, D.C. And that's what needs to happen, because what has taken place over the last 3-4 years now, even prior to him becoming president, is outrageous. It is the greatest scandal in American history, and the American people need to know what happened.
And don't you think that we're getting closer and closer every day, starting with the IG report, which is should be released before the end of this month?
And I think that's why you see them freaking out, because they know that this stuff is coming out.
Yeah, I agree. It's so frustrating when you hear even smart people that you respect talking about this conversation that Donald Trump had with the president of Ukraine as somehow improper. Read the darn thing. It's 5 simple pages. And look at the distance between talking about the foreign aid and all of that, and then 500 or 600 words later, page and a half later, talking about, you know, improprieties that might involve the Bidens. Regardless, if there are crimes committed, should we not be looking into them? It's just a ridiculous narrative. And I hope you're right, because a lot of people think that that Nancy Pelosi is going to pull the trigger on this vote. You said you think New Mexico is going to go for Trump. What do you see happening in Colorado? Are you seeing any changes in enthusiasm, operations by the Republican Party in conjunction with Trump victory and the Cory Gardner campaign to give you some optimism about our state?
No. Yeah. I wish I did. You know, Colorado has changed. There's no doubt about it. And down in New Mexico, those are long-time, traditional, like I said, God-fearing, patriotic Americans down there, like we have in Pueblo. And Trump won Pueblo in 2016. The Republican Party has got to stand up and defend this president and defend his policies and boldly do so. And I don't see us doing that here in Colorado. I see us bowing down to every one of the issues that the Democrats are pushing in the Colorado legislature and with our governor, and running away from the president. And that's not how you mobilize your grassroots base to get up and work hard to elect Republicans. And to be quite honest, we have to win the U.S. Senate race. We have to energize our base and get them out to vote for Cory Gardner and President Trump. And I hope that the president comes out here on multiple occasions to inspire our base to get up and vote. And I hope that Cory embraces the president and does everything he can to mobilize our base, because if we don't, we're not going to win.
I've got Trevor Loudon scheduled on the other side of this break, so you are going to be saved by the bell. I'm not going to drag you into the conversation or any speculation about why Colorado State GOP chairman and congressman and your and my good friend Ken Buck did not sign on to this bill to censure Adam Schiff. I've been getting a lot of inquiries about that since that vote came out, and Ken was not on that list. But you are saved by the bell, sir. I appreciate your enthusiasm. I see things so much more closely to the way you do than what we hear from almost every other pundit who's not actually on the ground and seeing and feeling what's going on in very important states around the country. Thank God we've got voices like yours. You are in these places. You see it. You feel it. And you're not a bad prognosticator. So I'm going with the Ted Harvey view of 2020. And you keep it up, will you, sir?
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. God bless. Have a great day.
You too. I always feel better when I talk to Ted. I hope you do, too. And we'll talk more national politics and international policy with filmmaker, author, activist from down under. My good friend Trevor Loudon joins us next, right here on the Peter Boyle Show at 710 KNUS. Yeah, good timing there as we finally roll up on 7:30 this morning. The sun is finally up. Oh, dark 30 lasted all morning long. Welcome back to the Peter Boyle Show. Randy Corcoran here. George Brockler will be in the chair tomorrow. Peter returns on Friday. We've been texting about his visit. He is at the Nuremberg courtroom, in the Nuremberg courtroom. Or at least sent me those pictures just a little while ago. Pretty heady stuff. Should be some great stories from Pete when he's back on the air this Friday. Very excited to bring to you our next guest, a favorite on my regular show on Saturday morning and anytime I'm filling in. Love to get you access to Trevor Loudon. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I am good. Are we talking to you from your home in Florida, or are you on the road?
No, I'm not on the road. I'm actually in Iowa right now.
Fascinating. Are you checking up on the Democrat candidates that are jockeying there, or what are you doing in Iowa?
Well, a little bit of that, but we had a Stand Against Marxism conference in Des Moines on Saturday, which was fantastic. And that focused largely on the Marxist infiltration of American Christianity, which is going full steam ahead right now. So that was what brought me here. But we're doing a few more meetings around the state and just trying to build some support networks here, because obviously it's a critical state in the primaries.
Sure, that's fascinating. Did you hear Attorney General William Barr's speech on the importance of religion to Western civilization and the United States of America, given to the Notre Dame College of Law students last week?
I heard about it. I saw excerpts of it. And, I think that's this is critical. I think most American Christians really need to understand the incredible push that's on right now to infiltrate Christianity, but also to basically shut it down or twist it. You know, if the Democrats get in again and they implement their Equality Act, that will end Christianity as we know it in this country.
Do the people that you were meeting with in Iowa understand just the depth of conviction inside the Trump administration to stand up not only for the Christian faith, but for religious freedom in general?
Yeah, look, I think generally it was very much appreciated what the messages that are coming out of the Trump administration. It's got to happen. You know, America was founded on Christianity. It wasn't founded on any other religion. And, you know, if Christianity is corrupted or even, you know, heavily reduced, it'll impact the freedom of all of us, no matter what, you know, religious belief or lack of religious belief you have.
You bet. And we're on the Peter Boyle Show this morning, so lots of folks that aren't regular listeners to my Saturday morning show. For people who are not familiar with Trevor Loudon, let's give a quick introduction. I know it's the 10-year anniversary of KeyWiki. let's talk about a couple of those things. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, I'm from New Zealand, as people probably guessed. I specialize in studying the radical left, terrorist groups, Marxist groups, etc., and their impact on the mainstream politics. And that's gone into overdrive in the last couple of years. The Democratic Party is no longer the party of Harry Truman or JFK. It is a Marxist party now. And my background, you know, I exposed the ties of Frank Marshall Davis, the Hawaiian communist, and Barack Obama. I exposed Obama's green job czar, the Marxist Van Jones, and there are several movies out there, including Enemies Within, which is on Amazon Prime, and that exposes the heavy Marxist infiltration of the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate. We say there's 100 members of the House and 20 members of the Senate who couldn't pass a background check to drive a school bus.
TrevorLoudon.com, excellent website. 10-year anniversary of KeyWiki, what's that?
Well, KeyWiki is my, it's got 124,000 files on it. It's like it's a wiki. So you just look up keywiki.org. That's KEYWIKI. Key isn't turning the lock, wiki. And it's got 124,000 files of American Marxist, communist, leftist, and their relationships with local politicians, city councillors, congressmen, senators, and presidential candidates. Like, if you go onto the Key Wiki and you look up all of the top five or six Democratic presidential candidates, from Joe Biden to Pete Buttigieg, you'll find all of them are Marxists. All of them have Marxist backgrounds. And it sort of proves the point that Donald Trump Jr. made recently on Fox and Friends, that the 2020 election will be communism versus freedom. You know, people think that's crazy, but that's exactly what we're facing.
And all you've got to do is have even just the most basic layman's grasp of the history of Marxism and communism, the ideology behind it, and then listen to this clown show of Democrat candidates during these debates, or, Alexandria Ocasio, no cortex, and her new support of Bernie Sanders to understand it. It really is that clear. It's black and white. We just spoke with Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend the President. He's been on the ground around the country, and recently been in New Mexico a couple of times. He thinks that Donald Trump will flip New Mexico in the 2020 elections. He is very optimistic that Nancy Pelosi is not going to pull the trigger on an impeachment vote because she doesn't want to destroy the reelection chances of her Democrat House members who got elected in Trump districts in 2018.
Yeah.
And he believes, from what he sees, the momentum is building for to kind of make the Moody's projection about a Trump reelection come true in a big, big way. What's your sense? You're in Iowa right now. You're traveling around the country. We're a year away. How do you see things unfolding right now?
Look, I've been in Minnesota recently. I've been in Nevada, Iowa, Virginia, California. I see that. I think we can pick up Minnesota. I think we can do very well in several states for Trump. We can do that. I think the big problem, which is not being addressed, are the southern states, and I'm talking Florida, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, where the left are doing massive voter registration drives amongst black and Latino communities. And that's where the real battle is. I think we'll be fine in the Midwest. We'll be fine in a lot of the states that the gentleman was mentioning. But we got some issues down there in the southern states, and we can't ignore that. And
it's a little nerve-wracking.
I think it's going to be touch and go, and we're going to have have to work really hard in the Senate too, you know, especially with Cory Gardner and Tom Tillis in North Carolina and Susan Collins up in Maine. They're going to be touch and go, those seats.
A little nerve-wracking to hear you mention Texas. Do you really believe that Texas is... I know that the Democrats are focusing on it. We have learned in Colorado what the Democrats can do with the implementation of the blueprint and unlimited funds. Yeah. They've taken that whole idea to Virginia, was the next state, and they've won that state. They're trying in Texas.
Yeah.
Do you really feel like Texas is at risk for 2020?
Well, put it this way. North Carolina, Arizona, and Georgia are all at risk in 2020, as is Florida. And that's all the blueprint model. It's the blueprint plus, you know, who I've talked about before, Steve Phillips and his program for energizing the minority voters. So that Texas, yes, it is a little bit. And John Cornyn, I believe, is going to face a very strong candidate of color in Christina Tsinsun. She's backed by the Marxist elements in Texas, the same elements that almost won with Beto O'Rourke. And they've had another couple of years of organizing amongst the black and Latino communities. She's a much stronger candidate than Beto. And, you know, John Cornyn isn't as tough as Ted Cruz. So that Senate seat is going to be more in play than people realize, I think. You know, Texas is the number one priority for the left. If they can do to Texas what they've done to Colorado, you know, that's you know, we're in huge trouble at that point. North Carolina,
Trevor,
Georgia,
let me step in real quick because we've got to take a break. Do you mind staying with us? I'd like to let you finish your thoughts without interruption. All right. Wanted you to finish without interruption on the other side. So let's get there right now. We'll continue with Trevor Loudon on the Peter Boyle Show, 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
We are back. 14 minutes to go until 8 o'clock. Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyle's. Peter will be back on Friday, people are texting about a website for our new automotive repair shop, Hartger's Garage. We've got the domain. I guess the website's not up yet, but I'll be there at noon today for the grand opening. We'll be cooking lunch for you, and we'll offer free auto winter auto inspections if you want to come by at 5600 South Windermere Street. And 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Brigitte Gabrielle. We'll get back to Trevor Loudon in just 1 second. But right now, we've got our friend Brian from Alpine Planning Group standing by. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. How you doing today?
Doing great, sir.
All right, taking a look at these markets, we're off to a pretty good start for the week. We got the Dow up 39 points, NASDAQ's up 47. And the S&P's up about 13.9 points, so we're looking pretty good all the way across the board there. You know, Randy, when we're putting together retirement plans for our clients, one of the biggest questions we get is health care. As you know, Medicare does not start until age 65, so if you retire prior to age 65, typically you're going to have to self-insure, so you need to build those costs into your plan. Came across a statistic this weekend that says with rising healthcare inflation and longer lifespans, the average 65-year-old retired couple now needs $387,000 to cover healthcare costs for the rest of their lives. So it's a big one. It's one that gets overlooked quite a bit, but if you want to sit down and take a look at your plan, by all means, give Alpine Planning Group a call.
Brian, it's terrific. Sage advice every single morning. We do appreciate you, sir. Have a great day.
Okay, Randy, have a good one.
You bet. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm. They're committed to helping you improve your long-term financial success. Investing's a matter of trust. They're prepared to earn yours. 303-843-0918, 843-0918, or alpineplanninggroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Brigitte Gabrielle at 8 o'clock. Trevor Loudon is with us right now. And Trevor, I had to cut you off for that break. Did you want to finish your thought? And then I've got a question for you about the deep state investigation, investigating the investigators.
Yeah. Look, I'm just making the point that I think President Trump can get reelected. It's going to be very, very tough, though. It's not going to be easy. And the big thing, though, is the Senate and the House. If he gets reelected and he loses the Senate and doesn't get back the House, that makes it very tough to get anything done. So, you know, Colorado's got a critical race, as does North Carolina, as does Arizona.
Well, let's stay focused.
And Maine, so they're important.
Let's stay focused on Colorado for just a second. What do you say? What should folks like me do with Cory Gardner? When, you know, this on the Syria decision or whatever, it just seems like people are so quick to run to the microphone and find fault with the decisions. And, you know, it's okay to disagree. That's politics is about compromise. It's about expressing different opinions and then coming to some kind of consensus. But I never see these same people standing at that microphone, you know, touting the great economy or supporting, you know, attacking Nancy Pelosi for the witch hunt and the kangaroo court that she's running for impeachment. And so the Trump supporters, the Trump base, the active conservatives and Tea Partiers in Colorado, I hear from a lot of them that are just wanting to wash their hands with Senator Cory Gardner. What do you say to that?
Yeah, look, and you know, I've been very critical of Cory Gardner in the past, and you know that. You know, he has not been the conservative that he was elected to be, and that could come back to bite him, and it deserves to bite him. But you know, we've got to understand here: this is a referendum on the Trump agenda. Either the Trump agenda carries on, the taxes keep coming down, the military gets rebuilt, the economy keeps improving, or it all comes to a crash in a year's time. And Trump, without the Senate, without control of the Senate, is going to be a lame duck president for 4 years, and the left are going to just roll over. So, yeah, look, it's a tactical vote, you know. If I was in Colorado now, I'd be voting for Cory Gardner because I support the president. And if Cory Gardner comes around and actually starts voting and acting a lot more conservative, which he should do and he needs to do if he wants to get reelected, that's all to the good. But this is a referendum on the Trump agenda, and that's what I think we should put at the top of our minds.
Do you think then pundits and prognosticators and speech makers and the, you know, the conservative movement here in Colorado should stay away from criticisms of someone like a Cory Gardner and just try and get people to understand the importance of the vote in order to support the president? Or do we continue telling the truth? Go ahead.
I don't think we should stop all criticism. I think he should be, you know, pushed in the right direction as much as humanly possible. But I think the big issue here is the survival of the republic. And, you know, this is a numbers game. Trump needs the Senate and he needs the House. If he doesn't get both of those, he is handicapped and it's hardly worth electing him, you know, in many ways. So, yeah, I think it's a matter of national survival. I think it's a matter of survival for the state of Colorado. We've got it. The big thing is we have to defeat the Democrats in every way up and down the ticket, because they are Marxists now. So, you know, make a decision on that basis.
And when you're talking to your congressman or your senator and they're not actively supporting the president, or they're being more critical than they are supportive, you've got to remind them of the big picture. Every one of these individual issues mean absolutely, that they're standing on principle, mean absolutely nothing if we lose the republic to the Marxists, the communists, and the socialists.
Yeah, you know, the highest principle is national survival of the Constitution and survival of the republic. And that's actually threatened now in the next election. You know, as I repeated before, you know, Donald Trump Jr. said that the next election will be communism versus freedom. And when you look at the nature of today's Democratic Party and the massive number of Marxists they have in key positions and the fact that almost all of their presidential candidates have Marxist backgrounds, that is not an exaggeration. So this is not the election to sit on the fence or have a temper tantrum or be holier than thou. This is national survival at stake.
TrevorLoudon.com. Follow Trevor on Twitter as well. We've got the music. Trevor, thank you for your time this morning. Hope to see you in Colorado here sometime very, very soon.
Look forward to it. Absolutely. Almost called you Corey.
God bless you, sir.
Absolutely. Randy.
Gotta fly. Bye-bye. All right. Don't forget, Michelle Malkin will be in town with Dennis Prager on October 29th, a week from tomorrow at the formerly Wildlife Experience, CU South Denver. Get tickets, 710knus.com. It's brought to you in part by Alpha One Tax and Wealth. You can see them, alphaonewealth.com. When we come back, we'll talk with Brigitte Gabrielle. Why were she and Michelle Malkin turned away from Mar-a-Lago? That's a Trump facility. Next on the Peter Boyle Show. Stay with us.